Today, in our series, we're focusing on Joseph and a lot of what we know about Joseph in kind of traditional messages that we hear is kind of who Joseph is not. Joseph is like not Jesus' father, is I think a lot of what we kind of tend to think. You know, we know the story. You know, God comes to Mary. He tells her, you're going to have a child. This is going to be from the Holy Spirit. And so we kind of, I think, Joseph gets overlooked a lot. But the reality is, Jesus learned the word Abba to this man. Daddy. Joseph was Jesus's dad. This story that we get in this the Gospel of Matthew is an amazing story. It is a story where Joseph is brought into this very hard season. He thought his life was going one way, and all of a sudden, the Bible tells us that they found Mary to be with child. He was engaged. He was betrothed to this woman, and now she's pregnant? Wait a second. Like, what is going on here? We had plans. I know where we're going to live. And he was brought into this season that was very disorienting. All of a sudden, everything in his life was shaking. The trajectory of what he had thought was going to be in his life just totally shifted. And I think one thing that I just want us to consider is like how Joseph responds in this passage. It says, one, that he was a just man, so he doesn't want to like shame her because he knew Mary was going to get enough shame. I mean, they found out, her mom found out, everyone's finding out. It's kind of hard to keep pregnancy a secret. For some reason, she had. But he didn't want to put shame on top of the shame he knew she was already going to have. So it's interesting, in this passage, what does he do? He slows down. He considers what he's supposed to do. And when he slows down and considers what he's supposed to do, God shows up. He actually slows down enough where he falls to sleep. And it is in his sleep that the Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord comes to him in a dream. So Joseph slows down. He then listens to this messenger from God. He listens to the word of God to him that was saying, don't leave Mary. She's going to bear a son. And this son is going to be my son. You should name him Jesus. Jesus means Savior. He's going to save his people from their sins. So what I want to do is, it's been a little bit since we've read this passage. I just want to read it one more time. I want to read this passage all the way through. Watch Joseph do this. He slows down. He considers what he should do. He listens to what God says. And then what does he do? He obeys. He listens to God, and then he does what God tells him. So just, if you would, let me read this passage one more time. This is in Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph goes into this season and he's excited. Do you remember when you were engaged? Some of you have been in that season. It is exciting. It's also really stressful. There's all these plans you're making, and all of a sudden, he gets this news, or he sees Mary. Why didn't you tell me you were pregnant? He is disoriented by this, and he's like, what should I do? Well, let me tell you, if you have not been into a season of disorientation in your life, it's coming. The Christian walk for a lot of us is one that's really interesting. It's like we meet Jesus Christ and we start walking with him. It's like we are so excited. It's kind of like engagement. We are so excited. We want to be with God all the time. We start reading all these books. We start doing all these things in the church, like whatever is open. We serve in every single way. We start doing all these Bible studies. We just get in and in and in, and we start, man, it's growing. It's fun. And all of a sudden, things kind of slow down. Our heart cools a little bit. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Cools down. Then we get into just the nature of like this relationship with him. There's highs, there's lows. And some of us start to wonder, is this kind of all there is with God? Like, is it just like, do I need to serve more, read more, do more? Joseph is a picture of like how the Christian walk is. For some of us, we get to the question of like, what's next? And typically the next thing is haunting. We get blindsided. It is typically some suffering, some trauma, some tragedy. It is something that even just gets us at our soul. It causes us to doubt. And Joseph is here. He's blindsided. And it is in this moment that God is doing insanely deep work. If you are not in a season of like disorientation, you will get there. I promise it'll be through some relationship, some through health, marriage, there's something, kids, something will come into your life. And to the core of who you are, if you're honest, you will kind of say, where's God? This is not how I plan my life. And Joseph is in this season. And this story is very much interesting, like our story. It is in seasons of disorientation where things get actually really personal between us and God. We find that actually God is working within us. God is in control in this season. And just like Joseph, he shows up in the midst of his doubt. What is he thinking? I mean, he's thinking all these things. Think about what's going on in this religious kid. I mean, he might have been 17. We don't know exactly how old he is, but he knows, whew, I found this out. Everyone else has found this out. I live in this incredible religious culture that is going to shame this woman. And honestly, do you think at the beginning, he's like, maybe Mary goes, hey, the Holy Spirit, you did this? I mean, really? Really, Mary? He goes away. I mean, let's be honest. Would any of us believe this? He goes away and he's considering his life. He's like, I knew where we were going to live. I knew, like, I've got my carpentry business going. I'm doing my work. I was excited about this life. And now, like, this, even if I stayed with her, this son's not my son. I would be the, like, look at this lady who Joseph's marrying. Like, who really is he? It reflects on me. The whole community will just look at us, look down upon us. And he's sitting there and he's considering all these things. And in that stillness, in that quietness, he drifts to sleep. And it is in his sleep that God comes and God speaks to him and says, Joseph, Mary's telling the truth. Mary's telling the truth. She is with my child. And you are going to be her father. You need to take Mary for your wife. Let me just read it in verse 20b through 21. He says this, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In the midst of his silence and his reflection, even in his sleep, God comes to him. God comes to him, and he gives him this vision, this dream. Things are about to get personal for Joseph. This message that is given to him, Joseph is now at the heart of the whole Bible. The very beginning of the scriptures, right when Adam and Eve sin, there's a promise that one day a woman will have a child that will save us. He will crush the head of this serpent that brought sin and death into the world. And now this dream is saying, you're going to be that child's dad. How amazing is that? How personal is that? Joseph is now invited into the most personal of relationships, a father to this child. In his disorientation, he is told Mary is going to bear the Savior of the world. When you wake up from that, where are you now? You know, you're engaged. You know your wife has a child. You had a dream. What are you thinking? I think you still probably think, this is crazy. Don't you? Was that real? You know what made it real to him? A prophet. It wasn't just his dream. It was the Bible. See, he remembered something. He remembered the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 17, Scripture speaks, God speaks through this prophet. And he says in Isaiah 7:14, he says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now he's got scripture. He's got this dream. He's got what Mary has said. And what does he have to do? have faith. And he decides to listen to God. This is so important for all of us. Scripture is speaking to us. It is constantly telling us something. And what Scripture is telling you is that this child, this Christ child, can be born to you. I mean, I just love, I want to skip a passage here. Let's go to John 14. Listen to this about how John invites us into thinking about our Savior. Jesus is like literally at his last meal and he starts telling this to his disciples. And this is what he says. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make if you're new with us, I do this every week. And we'll make our home with him. Advent is a season where we remember there's actually three comings. He came to Joseph and Mary. He will come again in the future and make all things right. But there's a third coming. He's coming for you. It is in seasons typically of disorientation that he comes to just take you, to make you his, and in the most personal way, to realize that, you know, all that beginning excitement of our faith where we're just doing, 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 reading, 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 serving, 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 sharing, 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 there's something personal that he's offering to you. There is something on the deepest levels of your soul that he wants to come and make his home with you. And Joseph gets it in like the flesh and blood. But Joseph is this story that actually I think just really relates to us. He wants to come into your life. He wants to come and make his home with you. I think when Joseph started thinking about Isaiah, it was done. He was over because all of a sudden he starts thinking, man, the prophet says the virgin will bear this son, will conceive, and will call his name God with us. Joseph's like, I'm going to be one of the first to experience that in the flesh and blood. God is with us. He really is. And he wants Jesus wants every single person to know this. I am Emmanuel. I am with you. I am never away from you. Your sin is what keeps you from seeing this. Repent of your sin. Confess your blindness. open your eyes. I am Emmanuel. I am with you right now. I have come to make my home with you right now. And Joseph is living this out. He starts thinking about Isaiah. And then I think he goes, man, right after that, God says he's going to fix every single part of like the whole world through this kid. Read this with me. It's Isaiah 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor you have broken, and as on the day of Midian. Listen to this. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Joseph, his mind is like, oh goodness, here he comes. Every single battle that has ever been fought on this planet, all those garments dripped in blood, he's going to burn every single thing up. He's going to make every wrong thing right. He is going to fix every broken person. How is God going to do this? For to us a child is born. I love this. Pastor Ray Orland, he says this. God's answer to everything that has ever terrorized us is a child. That's what this passage is saying. Every single terror in this world is going to be changed because a child is born to you. Can you imagine? This passage, I just think, was probably on his mind. And can you imagine the conversation that he has with Mary? Maybe he goes, and this passage would have been in his mind, memorized in his heart. Imagine this. Let me just read this. And imagine Joseph and Mary just making this very personal. For to us, Mary, to us, Joseph, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Can you believe it, Mary? This will be our child. Every wrong will be undone through him. Every evil in this world will be destroyed through him. He will bring around a government that will never end. His throne will never end. Man, can you imagine that? That to me is just beautiful. And today, this invitation is for you too. the us doesn't just include Mary and Joseph, for to us, every problem in your life, every brokenness in your life, every tear that you have faced, every abuse, every mental health issue, every physical need that you have, do you know how God answers you? A child is born. A son is given to you. And he longs to come and make his home with you. To us in our faith, there are three comings of Jesus. He's come once. He's coming in the future. And I'm telling you, he's coming today for you. He's coming in this season of disorientation. He's coming. And he wants to make his home. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit want to come and make their home with you. This is eternal life. To know this God, to live with him, to walk with him. This is our salvation. This is Emmanuel, God with us. Today, I want to remind you that just when God becomes that God who comes to you, man, your life just doesn't get easy. I mean, the last thing about Joseph, if you know his story, he takes Mary as his wife. You know what that was for him? Challenging. Do you think anyone else believed them? That, oh yeah, Mary and Joseph, that was kind of a wholesome Holy Spirit thing. You know, they're pregnant before they got married. No. And in that culture, they would have been shamed. They would have had a hard time. On top of that, what happens after Joseph and Mary have this child? All of a sudden they know, your life's not easy. Joseph, this past is not going to be like you have this new king where all of a sudden you get to be in the palace with this king. No, it's you're going to be on the run. One of the first things you have to do is flee to Egypt. But when you meet God, you'll obey him. Joseph makes some hard decisions. Where are you with like listening to God and doing what he asks of you? When you come face to face with God, it's near impossible to not want to do everything he tells you. Because you know that it is not what faces you that will bring you life or take away your life. It is he who is your life. So anything he asks, you will do, you will walk in. And Joseph is an amazing picture of this man who had to make sacrifices. But I love how the passage just ends. He wakes up, he takes Mary as his wife. And finally, they have a son. What does he do? He names the child. That's what he was commanded, to name him the most beautiful. Again, I do this all the time. To name him the most beautiful name. Our Savior, Jesus. I love Jesus. His name will change you. When you really know his name and who he is, you'll just forever be changed. He invites you today to this path like Joseph. In your season of disorientation, where things are not how they're going, stop. Consider where you are. Maybe fall asleep. Listen to your dreams. What do you dream of? You can't dream of anything greater than this. And he's saying, I'm coming for you. To you, a child is born. To you, a son is given. And his name is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for, I love how you just touch my heart sometimes. God, I thank you for these people in this place. I know you're working, God. I know you're moving. I know you're moving in this text. I know you're moving in our lives. Every single thing that is happening in our lives is a way that you're communicating to us. God, would you help us listen to you? Would you help us see you? Would you help us love your Son, Jesus Christ? God, draw us to yourself through your Holy Spirit. God, would you lift him up in this time? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.